You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good morning. Week 14 has started. The fantasy football playoffs are here. Welcome to the Roto Experts Weekend Edition on a Saturday morning. I am Scott the King Engel. I am the Managing Director of RotoExperts.com. I am the King. I am Fantasy filling in today ably for the Joe Buck lookalike, Mike Blewett. He is off teaching a broadcasting seminar because he is very good at that. So I get the pleasure of hosting with my good friend and one of the most dependable and reliable people in the entire fantasy industry. Nobody can talk about as much as fantasy football or hockey as he can. That's why I call him Blue Line. It's George Kurtz. George, how are you this morning, my friend?
I'm doing well, Scott. It's been a long time since you and I have been together.
Yeah, it's almost like a rock band getting back together, sort of. This is like our one-day reunion tour, sort of, right?
It is, right? We get the old folks back for that one day, and then we shuffle them back off again, back to their normal routine, shall we say.
Yeah, nothing's like it's quite it used to be. You know, I didn't realize until last night that the Eagles still only have one original member.
I've gone through this old question with other people, and I know you're a big music guy. Most bands have four, right? Three or four. How many is in when they lose a certain amount, when are they not that band anymore?
I feel like, you look at the Temptations, and they tour now, I think, just with Otis. So it's not really the Temptations. It's one Temptation and a backup guy. And, of course, I'm a huge Kiss fan. It's like they still have half the original band, but they're dressing up. They have a unique dichotomy because of the makeup and the image. They have two guys currently dressed up as former members, which ticks off a lot of their fans. But, I feel like Foreigner has like one original member, I think, and that's really not that band anymore.
I agree. Queen, I know most of the guys are back, but Freddie Mercury's not there, so the voice isn't the same. We had Van Halen, the Van Hagar, which was still good, but it just wasn't the same.
Yeah, the Saints, still the Saints. I mean, only Drew Brees, I think, is like one of the guys remaining from that last Super Bowl team.
Yeah, and he doesn't even throw the ball as much as we were hoping he would this season. They become a different team.
Well, he's still got 17 points to kick you off on Thursday night for week 14 of your fantasy football playoffs. Was not a good night for Matt Ryan. Of course, Alvin Kamara, everybody worried about that bad start, but it's not like your team is dead. It's one player in one game. You can overcome it, George.
You can, but it's just disappointing when you're, what could have been your first round of your playoffs. You lose, probably the rookie of the year. In the first quarter, I understand why people are a little upset about that. But then again, I'm playing against them in two leagues, so it could end up working out for me.
Yeah, it's look, the game's not over. Your opponent could get 4 points from Kareem Hunt, so things might work out. We're going to go game by game next. We'll start out with some of the early games next. We'll take your calls a little bit later at 888-843-6879. You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning with Scott Engel and George Kurtz.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on the Roto Experts Weekend Edition, Scott Engel and George Kurtz. And George, let's start with the Colts and the Bills. This is not a very exciting matchup. The Bills are 3-9. The Colts are 3-9. The Bills are 6-3. But one underrated player for this game might be Frank Gore against this Buffalo Bills run defense. He does have 85-plus scrimmage yards in two of his three career meetings against the Colts. A lot of that is not recent and relevant, but overall, though, this should be a good matchup for Gore, who has been pretty busy the last few games, and it seems like a friendly matchup. And you know, Jacoby Brissett has started to decline recently, and you think they want to run the ball. Gore might be a sneaky play this week.
I don't know if I see big things. I mean, he's probably starting him anyway. Any running back with a pulse has value here. And I think my biggest thing here as far as the Colts are concerned is that, you know, Nathan Peterman's at quarterback, even against the Colts. I don't know how often he's going to be able to move the ball, move the chains, and keep the ball with Buffalo. So Indianapolis could have the ball a whole bunch. I wonder if they end up controlling the clock here, which should give even more carries to Frank Gore. Listen, I have him as a low-end running back, too. He's a starter there. But I don't know if I see somebody who's going to, you know, be a you're going to win your playoff week.
Yeah, my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com will be updated later this morning, and I have Gore as number 22 overall in a PPR. Would you roll out the Colts defense facing Peterman? Peterman did have a good preseason, but he had that 5-interception game, but it did come against one of the best pass defenses in the league. The Colts, you start them just based on the matchup because this is not a very good defense overall.
It's not. It's truly not. I don't think, unless you're in a 16-team league, I don't think I can quite go that far. I think there's a few good streaming defenses this week, so I don't think you need to drop down this low.
All right, on the Buffalo side, with Peterman probably getting the start, it's going to be LeSean McCoy getting a heavy workload, rushing for 93 yards this past week. And, you know, this guy is definitely going to be a top five start. You start him no matter what, no matter who's a quarterback. Big game tomorrow, 1 o'clock. The Minnesota Vikings are 10-2, and the Carolina Panthers are 8-4. 1 o'clock p.m. at Bank of America Stadium. And Case Keenum, the Panthers' pass defense has fallen off recently. Keenum has 100-plus rating in four consecutive games, tied for the longest streak in Vikings history. In his past four road games, 1,101 passing yards, 10 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions, averaging 275.3 passing yards per game. Keenum has really come on recently. Very strong start this week. I have his number 7.
Yeah, I think Keenum is a fine start as well. I'm very curious about this game. You know, Carolina really needs a win here. Atlanta won, New Orleans lost. So they want to get involved in this NFC South race with a division title. They need a W here. Minnesota, are they the best team in the NFC? Is that defense an automatic start for fantasy owners? I think it is. I think they're for real. And I think my biggest problem here, Scott, is, you know, can you start Devin Funchess with any kind of confidence? Odds are Xavier Rhodes will be all over him.
Yeah, Rhodes has pretty much shut down everybody except for Marvin Jones. Held Julio Jones to his worst game of the year. But back to the Vikings for a second. Latavius Murray has 4 touchdown runs in his past 4 games. The Panthers are better against the run than they are against the pass. Murray, to me, is not top 20 this week because I feel he's very touchdown dependent.
I would agree, but I'm probably still starting him here. I think he could get to the end zone. You are relying on that touchdown. I certainly would rather have Murray over Jerick McKinnon. I know people sort of freaked out last week because McKinnon had the touchdown. Listen, it was a play fake when they were at the goal line, and McKinnon made a good play in the end zone to catch the ball. It doesn't change my rankings of him. It's still Murray's the main ball carrier there. I think Minnesota will keep the ball on the ground as they normally do. But if you're asking me, do I trust the passing game more? Yes, I'd rather have Keenum, Thielen, and Diggs, and or Rudolph for that matter. I'll have them all ranked overall higher than I would Latavius Murray.
Now, we talk a lot about don't overreact to the matchup, but it's not like Devin Funchess is this proven star just yet, even though he's played really well. He does have 346 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns in his past 4 games. But when you see Xavier Rhodes shutting down more experienced receivers, and the fact that schematically you look at it, that if Rhodes can shut down Funchess, Greg Olsen, you know, is is really just coming back for his second game. They can't keep Christian McCaffrey in check. It's going to be very hard to stop Devin Hunt Funchess. When I update my ranks this morning on rotoexperts.com, I'm not going to have my top 35.
Yeah, me either. I don't think he's anywhere near there. And I agree with what you said. He's not a superstar. You know, he's not even a star. You know, right now he's just the Carolina number one wide receiver here, but I think Rhodes is all over him, and it's just not going to work out well at all. So, you know, I don't think he's a top three either. He's in the flex range for me, and still, even there, there's just no upside. You need a touchdown from him to have a good fantasy day there. I want to stay far away from Devin Funchess.
Yeah, you don't bench your superstars in the fantasy playoffs, but this guy is not a superstar, so I'm okay with benching him. Cam Newton has 4 passing touchdowns with no interceptions and a rushing touchdown in his past 2 home games, but I can't rank Cam Newton in the top 15 against this Vikings defense.
No, and his accuracy has gone south again. Some of that may be due to the thumb injury, which really affected him in the Jets game. Not as much last week. It may be healed by now. But Newton has always had problems with his accuracy. Throw in the thumb if you can't grip the ball properly, and you get more problems. And once again, it's the Vikings' pass defense. This is a very good defense. It might be the best defense in the NFL. So, I'm right on board with you. I think it'd be tough, though, because if you have Cam Newton, can you start Josh McCown over him? I mean, I understand McCown's been playing very well, but he's also playing in Denver. I mean, can you go down that low, Scott, and start a guy who was nowhere near your top 10 over him in for round one of your playoffs?
Denver's no longer a shutdown defense. I got Josh McCown inside my top 10 at fantasy quarterback. He's played better at home than on the road. But, this Denver defense spends a lot of time on the field. Over the past 4 games, they certainly have not been good. And I believe they have allowed they're one of the leaders allowing the most touchdown passes in the NFL. I'd have to look that up for sure. But they're certainly not a shutdown defense anymore. And the Jets certainly have potency on offense.
Let's play a little game here, Scott. Cam Newton or Andy Dalton against Chicago?
I'm going to go Andy Dalton. The Bears defense is getting less of a pass rush recently. They're not quite shut down as you think they might be. I'm definitely going to go to Andy Dalton.
I agree with you there as well. I've never been bold.
Yes, the Broncos have allowed 26 passing touchdowns, most in the NFL.
How about Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Alex Smith, both those guys over?
I think Alex Smith against the Raiders at home is a great matchup. He's top 5 this week, I think. Bounced back last week. Derek Carr, the Chiefs play better defense at home. And this is a divisional game. I know they're missing Marcus Peters, but I just have a bad gut feeling about Carr. But still, he's top 12 for me, not top 10, whereas Cam Newton doesn't even crack my top 15 this week.
I'm with you. I agree with you on all of them. I would start all of them over Cam Newton as well.
All right. And Greg Olsen has been able to practice in full with the foot injury, but I don't feel confident about rolling him out this week.
No, I've been saying over and over again, I don't want to start Greg Olsen until I see him in a full game play well. I don't need to be a star, but play well. The only game he played, he barely lasted a half against the Jets before he re-injured. They said it was because of the turf. Maybe yes, maybe no. Didn't play last week. I don't know what your tight end looks like. Maybe you're Rob Gronkowski. Olsen was your backup, but you have no choice but to start him today. Fine. I have no problem with that. But other than that, no, I don't want him.
All right. Let's move on to the Bengals and the Bears, the Battle of the Seas, CCB versus CB. If for the abbreviations, the Bears are 3-9. The Bengals are 5-7. Pretty much choked away their playoff chances last week. But Jordan Howard could be a pretty good start. He has 275 rushing yards in his past 3 road games. The Bengals are going to be without Burflick this week. Howard is a top 15 start for me this week, even though he's been kind of up and down this year.
I think the Bengals are without 6 starters tomorrow, not all on defense, some are on offense, but that game was brutal on the other night. I think my problem with Jordan Howard is, once again, you probably have to start him. He's in your top 24, starting running back, hard to find him. But, man, he's so hard to trust right now. I know his road numbers the past 3 games you mentioned are very good, but teams are cracking down on that because they know Chicago can't throw the ball.
Now, the Bengals' defense is very banged up in the defensive backfield, but I still think you have to like them as a defensive start against Mitchell Trubisky and what's pretty much an impotent passing crew.
Agreed. Those are one of those streaming defenses I mentioned. That's why there's quite a few. It's 3 to 4 this week, streamers that you could start. This is why you don't need to go down quite as low to grab an Indianapolis, just because Peterman, we think, is going to start tomorrow.
All right, the big question from this game is, how much do you like Giovanni Bernard? We're going to talk about that next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Engel and George Kurtz on the Saturday edition.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Little Def Leppard for you there, George Kurtz.
Yeah, I saw them in concert a long time ago. I'm a Def Leppard guy, Scott.
I'm not really. Sometimes, the lead singer can, if his voice doesn't agree with you, you just can't do it. Certain bands like that, like Def Leppard, and especially Rush and Green Day, I feel that way about.
I'm not a big Green Day guy, but I like Rush as well.
Yeah, not into it. I'm not into sci-fi rock and roll. So let's go back to talk about Giovanni Bernard. 96 scrimmage yards last week, 77 rushing, 19 receiving. Joe Mixon has already been ruled out with a concussion. That hurts for the fantasy playoffs. I'm having to start Mike Davis instead in one of my playoff games. And I made the playoffs in 8 of my 9 leagues and 2 first-round buys, so doing all right. But with Giovanni Bernard, the Bears are 9th in allowing points per game to opposing running backs, so they're not bad. But I think you have to like Gio because he's probably going to have a lot of volume, probably as both a runner and a receiver, George.
Agreed. I don't see how you can't like Gio. What's the only negative? Maybe he's not the goal line guy? Other than that, he's going to get a lot of work between the 20s, catching the ball, running the ball. So, yes, Gio's in my top 15.
All right, let's move on to Green Bay. It's 6-6 against the Browns, who are 0-12 and looking for their first win at home. Jamal Williams last week, his first career 100-yard game. He is looking for his third game in a row with a touchdown run. Aaron Jones did score the late touchdown last week in overtime to give the Packers the much-needed victory as they try to stay alive in the NFC playoff race. But I think you got to like Williams here. You don't know if it's going to be a timeshare, but Williams has played well, and maybe the Packers don't want to mess with success. And this is just Aaron Jones' second game back from the injury.
I don't know. This scares me, Scott. I think you're forced to start Jamal Williams. I have been in a league or two. I'm starting him. But this smells bad to me that Aaron Jones, who was ahead of him on the depth chart before the injury, he comes back in, plays well. I don't think he'll steal the starting job, but I think it could be 50-50. It could be game flow, who's ever playing better. This guy scares the life out of me as a Jamal Williams owner, and when I don't have Aaron Jones. I just think that I just have bad feelings about this.
Yeah, I probably have Jamal Williams top 12 if I knew the situation for sure, but I still have him top 17 in my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com, which will be updated later this morning right after the show. DeShone Kizer, if you are looking for a streaming starter at DFS play, what about him against this Green Bay Packers pass defense? He's looking for his third game in a row with a rushing TD touchdown, and he's only 1 of 5 quarterbacks in the league with over 2,000 passing yards and 300 rushing yards.
I'm going to say no. I mean, really, you're going to have to go. I mean, when we think about streaming
DFS
past top 12. DFS could be an interesting. If I'm going to set multiple lines, which most of us do, sure, I have no problem putting Kizer in a lead. Let's see what happens here. See if he can tear it up against Green Bay, which has a terrible pass defense. So that I don't mind, but I'm hearing also the weather tomorrow in Cleveland, brutal.
All right, Josh Gordon, 85 receiving yards last week in his first game since 2014 against Casey Hayward. I don't know what the weather report exactly is. I'm going to check back to that in a minute. Thanks for that, George. It really depends on how windy it is, but this is a much better matchup for Gordon. It's like he's almost like a slam dunk wide receiver too, but just based on the matchup.
Agreed. Must start for me. Must start for me. I think he's going to tear it up. I mean, finally we get a coach who didn't lie to us, right? Hugh Jackson said they had all this, all these plays written up for Josh Gordon last week, and this was against Casey Hayward. And he had a nice game, not a big game, but a nice game for his first game back. And as we keep saying, he gets Green Bay tomorrow. If they design all those plays again, he's going to have a huge matchup tomorrow. I think a touchdown over 100 yards is coming.
According to NFLweather.com, that Cleveland-Green Bay game right now is the only one with a real weather concern. There's no precipitation predicted for, but they're talking about 29 degrees and 17-mile-an-hour winds. You know, that threshold for you get a little bit concerned is about 14 miles an hour. But you also have to remember that the Browns will be playing with the wind at their back a little bit. And with Gordon, look, Deshaun Kizer is erratic enough even in normal conditions. But, you know, it's the type of thing where it reminds me of Andy Dalton early in his career with A.J. Green. He would throw all these erratic passes, but A.J. Green had so much athletic ability, even with somewhere within his catching radius, he was able to use his athletic ability and get it. So I don't know if I'm going to overreact to the weather for Josh Gordon just yet.
No, I'm not to Gordon. I think the volume is going to be there. You know, we're looking at 10-plus targets again. He only needs to reel in half those to really have a good day. I said, I think over 100 yards against that defense. I think he gets into the end zone tomorrow. Big game coming for Josh.
San Francisco 49ers are 2-10 visiting the Houston Texans. They are 4-8. Jimmy Garoppolo, 293 yards in his first start with San Francisco last week. It was the most by a quarterback in the first start with the team in franchise history. You know, this is seems like a really good matchup on paper for Garoppolo against the Texans, who have just been awful against the pass all year long. They are second; they give up the second most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks on ESPN.com, and they've just been really, really bad. Garoppolo, though, don't know if he's quite a top 10 start for me because we've only seen it for one start. I don't know if, like, you know, people asking, you know, the Russell Wilson conundrum. I'm not starting Garoppolo over Wilson just based on a matchup, but I do like him safe. You have Dak Prescott, and I feel like I can't trust Dak Prescott in any matchup right now.
Yeah, I don't have either one of my top 12, Dak or Garoppolo. And I like Garoppolo. I think San Fran got their man. I think he is their quarterback of the future. I don't think Kirk Cousins will be there next year. So I think good for them to go out and get it. I might feel better about Garoppolo. It was just that better wide receiver. So it was a better offense overall. It was a good win. Listen, I guess he could be in flex consideration. The Texans have had all sorts of problems stopping the pass this year. So I get it. There is some love there. But for me to be put him in my top 12, Garoppolo, no, I can't do that.
All right. Carlos Hyde is fourth among running backs with 52 receptions. Should be busy busy tomorrow. Marquise Goodwin had a career high 8 receptions for 99 yards in week 13 and a very popular start this week. On the other side, Lamar Miller, 94 scrimmage yards last week. DeAndre Hopkins is leading the NFL with 9 touchdown catches. Steven Anderson had a career-high 79 receiving yards and a touchdown in Week 13. Miller's going to be a top 14 start at least this week, but Steven Anderson was a very popular pickup this week. How much do you like Anderson? Is he a top 10 guy for you this week, George?
Mr. Anderson, not top 10, but he's in my top 12, so he just misses out there. But I was frustrated. I tried to grab him in a couple of leagues, and I guess people had more fab money than I did. People were bidding like $500-$600, more than half their original fab to get this guy. It was frustrating not to be able to get Steven Anderson. I couldn't get Steven Anderson this week. So, yeah, definitely frustrating there. He could have a solid game. He's not going to have 2 touchdowns again. That's highly unlikely. But it's hard not to like him. It's a good matchup. Savage obviously likes throwing to him when he's not throwing the ball to the other team.
All right, battle of the sixes here. The Oakland Raiders at 6-6 go against the Kansas City Chiefs in a key AFC West matchup that certainly, you know, we didn't see forthcoming when the Chiefs were starting 5-0. This division is now completely up for grabs. Big game in the mediocre AFC West. The last time these teams faced each other, Derek Carr and Amari Cooper had their games of the season. Carr with 417 passing yards and 3 touchdowns against the Chiefs in a national television game. Amari Cooper with a career game, 210 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. But playing at Arrowhead kind of scares me for Carr, even though the matchup looks a little bit good on paper. No Marcus Peters, who's suspended. Cooper may not play, though, because even though he's cleared the concussion protocol, you know, the ankle is still an issue. Just based on the matchup alone, these are two divisional opponents, and they know each other well. And sometimes it leads to games being lower scoring than you might expect. To me, Carr is a top 12 play, but not quite top 10. I'd probably rather be using Josh McCown or Jameis Winston than Derek Carr.
Yeah, I probably agree with you mostly there. I think this is going to be. I'm looking forward to the game. There's very few. It seems like all these Sundays, Scott, as far as the overall NFL play, there's very few good games to watch. I think that's a shame. These always used to be better games on Sundays, but this is one of the better ones. 6-6. You look at Carr. I wonder if losing Cooper. I think Crabtree's a must start. Okay, so I'm going Crabtree there, but he's like the only guy in the Oakland offense I trust. Carr, I do have a number. He's in my top 12. So I think he's a star quarterback one there. I'm not going any lower there. I'm not going Cordarrelle Patterson or Seth Roberts. No, thank you. Marshawn Lynch, I have as a running back too. I think they're going to try and run the ball an awful lot against KC. I think that's going to be the Oakland game plan.
Yeah, Lynch has carried 43 times in his past two games with a 100-yard game last week. He's coming on at the right time of year for fantasy owners. They've been careful about managing his reps. Been kind of smart about it. Jared Cook has a good matchup, but you just can't trust him. He is boom or bust. Alex Smith, I said I have as a top five guy. Kareem Hunt had his 117 scrimmage yards last time against Oakland, 87 rushing, 30 receiving. But no matter the matchup right now, you can't trust Kareem Hunt.
No, I mean, I think it's safe for a couple of weeks now. He's a roster construction guy. He's no longer a must-start for you. He's still in my top 24. You know, he's a running back, too. But if you have better options, I'd go that direction. He's done nothing now for a month. I mean, whether it's his fault, whether it's Andy Reid's fault for not using him, whoever the new offensive coordinator is, are they not giving him enough carries to get into a groove? It's just not working right now. And I think the way to attack this Raiders team is going to be their secondary. They're going to try the big plays to Tyreek Hill again over the top. Hunt will get his chances, but I'm not loving him tomorrow.
Yeah, Hill is going for his third in a row against Oakland with a receiving touchdown, career high 185 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns in week 13. So Hill is definitely a top start, going to be heavily owned in daily. More week 14 previews and your calls coming up soon.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Wait now. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Engel and George Kurtz. We'll start queuing up your calls if you have questions about how to rebound from the Alvin Kamara Thursday night mess. Should you bench Russell Wilson? No. But start getting queued up now at 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. We'll start taking your calls shortly here on the Roto Experts of the Morning. Scott Engel filling in for Mike Blewett and And we have George Kurtz with us as well, as always, so you know everything's fine. The Dallas Cowboys at 6-6, trying to stay alive in the playoff race, face the New Jersey Giants, 2-10. Dak Prescott started getting pointed in the right direction last week, two passing touchdowns. He has 11 rushing touchdowns since in his career, the most by an NFL quarterback over the last 2 years. And this seems like a good matchup on paper, but I really feel like the Cowboys want to run the ball, take the pressure off the quarterback, because that's what they do best. Alfred Morris rushing for 127 yards and a touchdown in Week 13. His first 100-yard rushing game in a Cowboys uniform. Look, with Ezekiel Elliott in there, it seems like for whatever reason Dak is more effective. But Alfred Morris in there, I feel like they're going to continue to run the ball a lot. It's not running the ball a lot with a superstar where they can open up the offense even more with Dak. It's just like right now they think the way Dak has played over the last 7 games and last week was just an okay performance, it's hard for me to start him regardless of matchup in my fantasy playoffs.
Last week was an okay fantasy performance. NFL performance, it was bad. And he's only 11 of 22 for 102 yards. I mean, everything's dink and dunk now with Dak. He's not taking any chances into the secondary. Great, he didn't do a lot of that anyway, but he seems to have lost his confidence a little bit here. Now, maybe the win last week restores some of that, but I'm not starting Dak tomorrow. I don't know if there's any way you can. I know people who are going to list the weather reports. It's going to snow here in the New York area. It's not snow tomorrow. It'll be a little cool, but not snow. So the weather's fine. It has nothing to do with me sitting Dak. But Scott, I'd have to have a real bad second choice of quarterback to start Dak tomorrow, even against a banged-up Giants defense.
Yeah, I think what it is, it's the receiving core, really. They can't pick up any chunk plays downfield because Dez Bryant is looking, kind of like a shell of what he used to be. The yards per catch is way down this year. Terrence Williams really doesn't scare anybody on defense. Neither does Cole Beasley. Jason Witten. This is not an impressive receiving crew. Dez Bryant had a receiving touchdown last week, and he'll probably be faced by Ross Cockerell this week with no Janoris Jenkins, but I can't see Dez as anything more than a wide receiver 2 in any matchup.
I might even move him down to a wide receiver 3. He's lost a step. The leg injuries, the surgeries have taken away a step. Dallas has no speed. There's no speed. You mentioned Terrence Williams is an average wide receiver at best. I love Jason Witten. It may be time for him to go. He's been slow for a couple of years. He's lost another step now. So there's no separation there. That's hurting Dak as well. You mentioned Cole Beasley is a very poor man's Wes Welker. Very rarely goes up the field. They try and get him those 2 yard catches when they need a first down. There's no game breakers here.
Yeah, he doesn't remind me of Wes Welker whatsoever. I wouldn't even say poor man's. Jason Witten, really not been playing well, but he did have a touchdown catch in the last meeting, and the Giants are always vulnerable to tight end, so I think you got to give him top 12 consideration this week. For the Giants, some people are talking about playing Eli Manning, but he didn't perform well in the season opener against Dallas. They're talking about him being all ticked off as the narrative, but I think you're risking way too much if you start Eli in your fantasy playoffs. Sterling Shepard seems to be trending towards a game time decision.
There's no way I'm starting Eli Manning. I don't care about the revenge factor in all this or what he's angry about, whatever happened here. Truthfully, I think the Giants made the right decision. I think they handled it badly, but they made the right decision to bench him, just not for Geno Smith. I mean, that was really where they were wrong, because everybody who's complaining about what happened were the same people a month ago who want Eli benched. I mean, we all know it's time for Eli to move on there. It was Geno Smith was a mistake there. I think Eli could have a decent game tomorrow. Dallas is more than likely going to start with 3/4 of their secondary being rookies. And with the injuries, they have no Orlando Scandrick, the transverse process fractures there. So there's a possibility there. But once again, you mentioned Shepard, game time decision. He's got no one to throw to. And that offensive line is going to be down Justin Pugh again. It's going to be a makeshift offensive line. He's going to be running for his life.
Yeah, the other thing is here is that the Cowboys are also getting Sean Lee back for this week.
Yes, he should be back. He's off the injury report, so technically he's 100% healthy. And that defense, specifically the run defense, is completely different with Sean Lee in there.
Yeah, all the Orleans Darkwood is going to get some volume in this game, though. And we'll have to see just how healthy Sean Lee is. He's been a continual injury risk for the Dallas Cowboys. When he's at it, they go from a so-so defense to just a terrible defense, although they did play better last week. You got to give him credit for that. The Lions are 6-6, trying to stay alive against the Buccaneers, 4-8. Matthew Stafford has been limited in practice all week. This seems like a good matchup for him on paper against the Tampa Bay pass defense. Has been among the worst in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks and wide receivers all season long. But I think you have to be careful with Stafford with the hip in, with the hand injury, because you just don't know how he's going to look throwing the ball.
This one hurts, Scott, because I want to start Stafford, especially in DFS. I don't have him in any year-long leagues, but I want him in DFS. That Tampa Bay secondary has they're terrible. They're just terrible. I want Stafford. I want Tate. I want Marvin Jones. But I saw that hand after he got hit last week. I thought it was broken. And it was swollen twice the size. He had bruises and cuts on it. I don't know, what's going to happen this week. I might be worried that I think he starts, but that he's not effective, or that he can't finish the game. What if he lands on the hand again, which is going to happen? He's going to get hit. So this concerns me a great deal here. Stafford would certainly easily be in my top 10. He might be in my top 5 this week if he was healthy. Now I think he's a big-time gamble here. He's another guy we could play that game earlier with. Do you start Stafford? Do you start Smith and Carr if you have both? You know, which one of these guys do you start here? I think Stafford's a big risk.
844-843-6879 for your calls. It's 844-84-FNTSY is where you queue it up. And on the other side of the ball in this game, Jameis Winston, 279 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions last week. Good matchup here against the Lions pass defense that really has Darius Slay, Glover Quinn, but not much else. They can be burned. So I think Winston's a top 10 start this week. Cameron Brait had 2 receiving touchdowns since last week. Since 2016, he ranks 2nd among NFL tight ends with 14 touchdowns. That's one behind Jimmy Graham, who's having a great year. I think you got to get Brait back into your lineups now with Winston certainly back at the helm. What do you think about Mike Evans against Darius Slay? That is a tough one-on-one matchup, but you can't always assume that the defense is going to win every matchup. But Evans doesn't have a 100-yard game this year.
No, he hasn't been. He's not having the type of year we thought he'd have. He hasn't been all that great. Winston hasn't been all that great, and now you throw in Darius Slay. I mean, odds are I'm starting Evans, but I'm looking at my Twitter feed now because someone asked me a question, and it was a question which I could bench Evans, but I can't, it's too far down. I can't see where it is. So, like I said, 90% of the time, Scott, I'm starting Evans here. But if you have, I think it might have been Crabtree and Cooper. I'm almost positive that's what it was. Crabtree, Cooper, Evans, sit one. I sat Evans because I like Cooper's matchup. I love Crabtree's. Crabtree's matchup. I like Josh Gordon's matchup. Evans scares me. So Evans was the one I sat there. So there is a chance if you picked up Josh Gordon and you have one of these Gordon Crabtrees or maybe Davante Adams, another person there, that I can sit Mike Evans here.
844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. And we're going to take all your calls. If you have anything that you'd like us to ask about week 14, are you very concerned? Will definitely ease your concerns. I know a lot of people definitely freaking out about Alvin Kamara, but look, your game is not over. As we've said more than once here. You want to get off to a bad start, but it is one player in one game. I understand why everybody would be upset, but hey, look, Kareem Hunt could score 4 points on the other side and you still could win your game. The Tennessee Titans are 8-4, taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Good matchup for Marcus Mariota, but he's been very disappointing. 2 touchdowns last week, 98.1 passer rating, but it seems like there's no upside for him right now.
I agree. I mean, I think he's been one of the more disappointing players in fantasy this season, specifically a quarterback. I expected big things from him, not to be a top 5, but to really establish himself as a good, solid NFL fantasy quarterback here, running ability, passing ability. I understand he doesn't have an ace wide receiver, but they did draft him, one they think is going to become one in Corey Davis, who's been useless all season. Rashad Matthews has been, a solid number 2. Delonte Walker has reestablished himself as a top 10 tight end. The running game's been disappointing. So is the offensive line. But Mariota, The accuracy hasn't been there. He's thrown some terrible picks. I'm not sure what has happened to him, Scott. Is it all the leg injuries, the broken leg from last season, the leg injury he suffered this year? Is that zapped his confidence, zapped his ability to move around the pocket? It's just it's been a strange season for Mariota.
DeMarco Murray has four touchdowns in his past four games, but this is a tough matchup against the Cardinals' rush defense. Delanie Walker is looking for his third game in a row with a touchdown. It has to be a must-start against any opponent. And Rishard Matthews is going to return from a hamstring injury. And Patrick Peterson is looking iffy for this game. That could certainly be big in terms of the Rishard Matthews matchup. Rishard Matthews matchup is a tongue twister there, George.
Yeah, it sounded like the old Beavis and Butthead going on there. I mean, if he's going up against Patrick Peterson, I don't care if Matthews is coming back this week. I'm not starting him. So, yeah, it'd be nice for Matthews' owner if Peterson took a game off.
All right. We'll take your calls next at 844-843-6879. And we'll talk about the Arizona Cardinals and their offensive outlook this week. How good is Larry Fitzgerald going to be? That's next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, weekend edition.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, weekend edition, Scott the King Engel along with George Blue Line Kurtz. Take your calls at 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. Follow us at FNTSY Radio on Twitter and check out my lineup ranks to be updated on rotoexperts.com later this morning. Also, George breaks down, ranks the teams matchup in best to worst and how you can exploit them every week. So check out George's matchup rankings. Let's go to Josh from Jay from Madison. Jay, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
Good, excellent. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I got a couple of questions. I got Russell Wilson, and I also have the Jacksonville defense. And obviously, I'm going to keep starting Wilson. And I'm wondering if I should. It's got negative. It's a negative point league, so I could just as well get negative points as opposed to 35-40 points. And if I should maybe possibly pick up maybe the Rams defense or maybe a New England's defense.
Well, I think just overall, I think New England's a better start in my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com this week. I have him as the number one overall defense. The fact that Russell Wilson and the Jacksonville defense are facing each other is immaterial to me because Russell Wilson could still throw two to three touchdown passes and Jacksonville could still score a return touchdown, get three or four sacks. So, using one to cancel out the other really isn't an issue to me. I just want to play the better defense, George.
Agreed. I can't sit Jacksonville. I love what Russell Wilson's done this year, but Jacksonville will get their sacks there. The New England defense is intriguing, though, because not only are they opportunistic, Miami has crapped the bed as far as in prime time. If you look at their numbers in prime time, they just don't play well in prime time. So this could end up being an interesting game there. But the bottom line is I cannot sit Jacksonville here. I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah, I disagree. I think I would use New England if they're out there. What's your other question?
Yes, sir. I have Kareem Hunt, Bernard, and McCaffrey for running backs. And I can start a couple of them, one in the flex and one running back. And I also have Thielen, Robbie Anderson, or Crabtree. And I can basically start you know, two of those six guys, Hunt, Bernard, McCaffrey, or Thielen, Anderson, and Crabtree?
What do you think, George?
All right, well, I'm definitely starting Crabtree. I love him probably the best of the bunch here. And it's going to be, it's tough to sit McCaffrey here, but man, it's tough to sit Thielen as well. Does one have to be a running back?
I need one back. I need one running back to start, and then one flex and one wide receiver, so I can actually start two
three of them.
Oh, so we go three. Yes. Okay, well, that solves my problem. Then I'm going McCaffrey, Thielen, and Crabtree.
Yeah, I'm actually not going to play McCaffrey against the Minnesota Vikings. I disagree. I think Thielen's a must start. I think I'd probably go Giovanni Bernard there for just for the volume. And if Anderson's going to play, I can't see benching him.
Who are you benching?
Dilemma.
No, I'm going Thielen, Anderson, and Gio.
You going to bench Crabtree in a cake matchup tomorrow?
I can't bench Robbie Anderson, no matter who he faces.
I can.
The guy's number one wide receiver right now. Yeah, but he's back in practice in full. Inside injury saying he's not a concern. So I'm starting Robbie Anderson.
Not me. I think he's an easy sit of this group for me.
Yeah. Well, we disagree. Not every expert is going to have the same analysis. I think we both agreed on Thielen, but I don't like McCaffrey against the Vikings, George.
He'll catch those balls out of the backfield. He's a safe player. He'll catch those balls out of the backfield. Rushing the ball? No, I don't like him at all, but I do like his ability to catch.
That's why I like Gio better. He's going to run and catch the ball. That's the difference for me. All right. 844-843-6879. We'll continue to talk about the Arizona Cardinals and continue to preview Week 14 here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on FNTSY Sports Radio.